Thank you for seeing me. 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 Thank you for healing 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 me. Thank you for loving 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 me. Welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church this Sunday, August 9th, 2015. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and it is for us to be glad and worship because of that. Let us begin our worship with a reading from Psalm 136, first in Hebrew and then in English. Hodu la'adonai ki tov. Ki la'olam chasdo. Hodu le'elohei ha'elohim. Ki la'olam chasdo. Hodu la'adonai ha'adonim. Ki la'olam chasdo. La'oseh nifla'ot gadolot lavado. Ki la'olam chasdo. La'oseh ha'shamayim betuna. Ki la'olam chasdo. L'roka ha'aretz al hamayim. Ki la'olam chasto. La'ose orim godolim. La'olam chasto. Et ha'shemesh la'memshelet bayom. Ki la'olam chasto. Et ha'yareach v'kochavim la'memshelot balayla. Ki la'olam chasto. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. O give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who spread out the earth on the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. Welcome to those of us gathered here and those who are listening via other means. Let us join our hearts in prayer and preparation for worship. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you for the world. We thank you for all the ways that you love us. And we thank you for the ways that we are able to love each other even in the midst of darkness. Help us to see the light this morning. Help us to see the light in our own hearts. Help us to see the light in our own church. Help us to see the light in our own community. Help us to see the light that never goes out. Help us to worship you, God. Amen. For our first song, please stand and turn in your hymnal to number 651. 651, I Owe the Lord a Morning Song.
Our grace is true and bright. number 72 in the same book, 7-2, When All Thy Mercies, O My God. In the Green Book, Sing the Journey, number 40, As Rain from the Clouds, number 40 in the Green Book.
Thank you.
We come now to our time of confession this morning. For our confession this morning, won't you please join me in prayer? Oh Lord, hear our prayer. It's easy to give thanks when we are healed, when the fever breaks, when the surgery succeeds, when the depression goes away. But it's hard to give thanks when we are ill, when the cancer spreads, when the epidemic isn't contained, when the voices won't stop tormenting. We need help today to see how you are always healing. And it's easy to give thanks for a world in bloom, for clean living waters, and for steady cycles of nature. But it's hard to give thanks when we see that the earth is dying, and when we see that we're helping to kill it, and when disasters strike the marginalized the most. We need help today to see you are always creating. It's easy to give thanks for wealth and prosperity, for stable families and abundant inheritance. But it's hard to give thanks when we see the harm of economic inequality, centuries of systematic exclusion and rapacious greed, and the absurdity of privilege. We need help today to see you are always Jubilee. And it's easy to give thanks for police who disarm a shooter, who detain a murderer, or who rescue a kidnapped child. But it's hard to give thanks when we see black bodies brutalized, prisons overflowing with the poor, the mentally ill, and people of color. We need help today to see you are always justice. It's easy to give thanks when the struggle is successful, when brutal systems are weakened, when your kingdom comes in power. But it's so hard to give thanks when we see Dr. King assassinated, dozens of students murdered in Mexico, activists and teachers wearing down and burning out. We need help today to see you are always crucified. It's easy to give thanks when we dwell together in unity, when the circle is unbroken, when we honor our commitments to each other. But it's hard to give thanks when we see we are divided by the idea of race, the idea of gender, the idea of sexuality, the reality of economic status. We need help today to see you are always one. It's easy to give thanks for family and friends, for belonging to a place, for the joy of new friendship. But it's hard to give thanks when we see those newest to our communities are not allowed to belong, when the foreigner is despised, ridiculed, and abused. We need help today to see you are always a stranger. O Lord, hear our prayer. And now, let us rise to hear these words of assurance. Brothers and sisters, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does have mercy on us and does forgive our sins through our Lord Jesus. So let us now live our lives as a people set free from the power of sin and death by the Holy Spirit. And now let us share Christ's peace with the world, beginning here. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us share Christ's peace. At this point, I'd like to invite the children forward for one of the happiest times of the service, children's time with Mr. Steve. Come on up, kids.
It's so nice to see each of you. I'm going to pass around the offering baskets for Center for Community Justice. It's right behind you there, my friend. It is such a pleasure to be here this morning. And as I was thinking about this story this morning, it changed every 5 seconds practically. And the reason it was changing is because I think that the things that have taken place so far this morning are really super rich. And it made me think that, you know, when I get out of the shower in the morning, I comb my hair straight back. And it kind of looks like I've been driving down the road in a very fast car and the wind is blowing my hair backwards. Do you agree? It's still a little bit that way. So what I want to do just very quickly is touch on a few things that were in our hymns this morning, because the hymns and our call to worship and then this prayer of confession were so rich. It feels like we've been driving in a fast car and there's just so much going on we don't even know what to think. So part of it, like, listen to this word, listen to this. As the rain from the clouds, will your word come to earth, as snow from the heavens refreshing the land. Can you imagine? What does that make you think? God's word coming down as rain. What is God's word, Silas?
I don't know.
Well, that's what it makes you think, doesn't it? Because it talks about God's word softening the soil and enriching. What does that mean?
It means that it might get into some plants.
Exactly. That word of God gets into the plants.
And then the food.
So you're eating God's word. Wow. That is one fantastic image. And like this one here, and then it says, thank you, good gardener, for your tender toil. Is God the gardener? Who's the gardener there? Who's the gardener? Jesus, perhaps? This invites all kinds of different thoughts. Listen to this one. 10,000 precious gifts my daily thanks employ. What does that mean? Something like that. It's lots and lots of 10,000 precious gifts. Can you imagine when you think about God? If you think about God as you know, sometimes we think in our prayer and some of our Josh talked about God as one, and God is one, but God is many at the same time. And when you think of that, God, this image invites us to think of God as being this showering down of blessing. 10,000 blessings, and the day's just started. The other song says, I owe the Lord a morning song of gratitude and praise. Wow. What would happen if we started our day just thinking there, laying in bed, and you realize you need to go to the bathroom, and you say, oh, thank you, Jesus, my plumbing still works. I need to go to the bathroom. That's something to thank God about, because some people can't, you know? So there are thousands of things every day, even before we leave the bed, we hear that alarm. My hearing still works. I'm breathing. I feel Dorothy next to me. These are all thousands of blessings to thank God for.
Not again.
Not again. Anyway, I think that the songs this morning and the prayers this morning and all the things we've done so far are just a fantastic and rich reminder to help us think about God in new ways, that God is not only wanting to shower down blessing upon this world, God is showering down blessing on this world, and God asks us to carry that blessing to other people and be that blessing to other people. Great. That's a challenge, isn't it, buddy? Anyway, I think it's a wonderful thing to think about, because our songs and everything we've done this morning so far really points to that generosity of God, and how there are so many things in this world to be grateful for. There are many things to mourn, but there are many things to thank God for. And I want to invite you to just say a word of prayer right now and give thanks to God for God's rich blessing. Okay. Oh, Lord God and Master of the universe, you created the stars and the moon and the planets and the skies and all the distant universes that we can't even imagine. You are there, and you hold that up in your very being. And we are grateful, Lord, that you think of this earth, and that you think about us, and that you sent Jesus to save us. And we just are very blessed to be alive. And we thank you for each person here. We thank you for these children, for the lives that are ahead of them, for the things they've already lived so far. And we just are grateful, Lord, for your blessing upon each one of us. And we pray, Lord, that you can help us to keep that sense of gratitude and joy that you invite us into, even as we face the difficulties and the struggles and the pain and misery that exists in our world, Lord. Help us to be mindful that you are present and you walk with us and you are there for us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean.
Lucas 17, versículo 11-19. En su camino a Jerusalén, Jesús pasó entre Samaria y Galilea. Al entrar en una aldea, le salieron al encuentro 10 leprosos, los cuales se quedaron a cierta distancia de él y, levantando la voz, le dijeron: "Jesús, Maestro, ten compasión de nosotros." Cuando él los vio, les dijo: "Vayan y preséntense ante los sacerdotes." Y sucedió que, mientras ellos iban a camino, quedaron limpios.
Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" Then he said, "Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
Entonces uno de ellos, al ver que había sido sanado, volvió alabando a Dios a voz en cuello, y rostro en tierra se arrojó a los pies de Jesús y le dijo, y le dio gracias a este hombre, era samaritano. Jesús dijo, ¿no eran 10 los que fueron limpiados? ¿Dónde están los otros 9? No hubo quien volviera y alabara a Dios, sino este extranjero. Y al samaritano le dijo, levántate y vete, tu fe te ha salvado.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios.
It's my first time.
Our preacher this morning is Ben Bauman. Ben is a member here at Prairie Street. He lives just a few blocks away, and he is a student at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary. Let's pray for Ben. Oh God, may the words of Ben's mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and good in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Thanks. By this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus is well on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus knows what is coming in Jerusalem, and his eyes are set towards Jerusalem. However, this does not prevent him from being able to see what is going on around him. As he is entering a village somewhere between Samaria and Galilee, 10 lepers approach him. But they don't come too close. They know that the law requires them to keep a distance. In one voice, they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It is when Jesus sees them that he says, go and show yourselves to the priest. Hold on a second. There are countless stories in the Gospels of immediate healings. Back in chapter 5, Jesus heals the leper right away before sending him to the priests. What's different in this situation? We aren't told the reason, but nevertheless, even though they aren't healed, they obey Jesus. Without hesitation, all 10 head straight to the priests. We ought to give them some credit. These lepers could have said, forget you, Jesus. You heal others right away. Why not us? But they didn't. They went to the priests. You see, lepers weren't necessarily lepers for life. If their symptoms went away, they would go to the priest to be cleansed and then rejoin society. What joy it must have been to be able to return home after being excluded. Can we imagine these lepers as they begin their journey toward the priests? Are they constantly watching their arms or each other to see if, perhaps when, they will be healed? All of a sudden, it happens. They are healed. Unbelievable. One, then another, then all 10 are running, sprinting toward the priests. They can be cleansed. They can rejoin their family and their friends. Nothing can stop them now. But wait. One of the 10 starts slowing down. Something doesn't feel quite right. He stops. He knows there's something that he must do, or perhaps more accurately, that he gets to do. Something that's even more important than rejoining with his family. Verse 15 says that when the leper saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He falls at Jesus' feet and thanks him. Jesus then asks 3 questions. Questions more directed to the audience than to this healed man. Were not 10 made clean? The other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Ouch. Jesus' questions struck the heart of the original listeners, and they strike our hearts today. Is not God still active in this world? Where are the people giving praise and thanks? The problem is that we choose not to see. Each moment of each day, we have many things to be thankful for, but we choose not to see these things, but rather to focus on the things that we lack. We all know what this looks like. The kid at Christmas who rips through 20 presents and then proceeds to ask why he didn't get that specific toy. Or the adult who wants a bigger house, another car, more money, and doesn't know how to be thankful for what he already has. When I was growing up, whenever I would receive a card for my birthday or Christmas, I would squeeze the card so that the money or check would fall out first. Now, sure, I would read the card eventually, but where were my priorities? Furthermore, just receiving the money wasn't enough. Really, Grandma? Only $5? My friends got $100 from their grandparents. Often, the more we have, the less grateful we are. It's like eating. If we are really hungry, that first bite is glorious. If we are full, another bite isn't all that great. For those who get 3 full meals a day, what is a snack? But for those of us who do not know where our next meal will come from, a hot bowl of chicken soup is indeed godly. Society doesn't want us to be satisfied or thankful, because if we are, we won't buy that Big Mac or that latest gadget. Where is our gratitude? Are we thankful for what we have? Or do we take things for granted and expect more? Not only are we not grateful, we often do not recognize to whom we give thanks. Something amazing may happen, but we choose not to see God as the source. The focus is on what I have accomplished, not what God has accomplished. As William Barclay points out, often when a man gets what he wants, he never comes back. After we get what we want, do we go back and give thanks to God? My mom tells the story of when she got glasses as a child. She remembers driving home from the eye doctor, amazed at the ability to see individual leaves on the tree. Her eyes had gotten worse so slowly that she didn't recognize what she was missing. Gradually, our seeing gets worse and worse, too. We take things for granted. We are unable to see what God is doing in our lives. It isn't about what God has given us or done for us, but about what I deserve. I am entitled to this kind of life. I earned this life. Luke 17 tells us that the one leper who returned was a Samaritan. 10 were healed, but the one who returned was a Samaritan. This detail suggests that the other 9 were probably not Samaritans, but Jews. Really? Does the Samaritan have to be the hero of the story again? Can a brother get a Jewish hero? No, it has to be a Samaritan. God's chosen people have forgotten how to recognize God's action on their behalf. Of these 10, only one, only the Samaritan, was able to see. Indeed, not only able to see that he was healed, but who had healed him. The Samaritan could have chosen to be upset at the time he spent outcast from society, to focus on the injustice that he faced. He could have said, "I deserve this," and not gone back. But he chose to give thanks. God had healed him, and so the Samaritan joyfully broke into loud praising. Jesus had healed him, and so the Samaritan was honored to kneel at the feet of Jesus and thank him. God had given this Samaritan an opportunity to be grateful, and he took it. And this praise and thanksgiving wasn't burdensome. It was a joy to give thanks for this incredible gift from God. Jesus then says to the Samaritan, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Your praise has made you whole. Your gratitude has saved you." Kids are taught to say thanks. Have you ever done something nice for a four-year-old at which point the parent tells the kid to say thanks? It doesn't feel quite genuine at that age. But by the time we are adults, saying thanks to others doesn't feel like a burden or a command. When people helped Yossi and I move here to Elkhart, it was a blessing to be able to give thanks to those who came. In the same way, it was a blessing for the Samaritan to be able to give thanks to God. God is still giving us opportunities to be grateful today. We are not obligated to give thanks. God will still heal us and act on our behalf. After all 10 were healed in the story. But giving thanks is not a should or a must. It is a wonderful opportunity. It is an expression that completes the relationship. If I do something nice for you, you are not obligated to say thanks, but doing so furthers our relationship. Gratitude is a response to God's grace in our lives. God has done so much for us. Are we willing to see what God has done and is doing and will do and give thanks? A year ago, my friends and I went on an outdoor rock climbing trip in Kentucky. The type of climbing that we did is called sport climbing. There are previously placed bolts in the rock every 10 feet or so. Each bolt has a place that you can hook into. The way sport climbing works is that as you climb, you hook your rope into these bolts. What this means is that at times you are climbing higher than where you are hooked into. If you fall twice as far. One friend decided to climb without a helmet on. He was doing well and had almost reached the top. He was at the final bolts and just needed to attach the rope so that he could rest. He was noticeably getting tired and started shaking. On the ground, we held our breath because he was 10 feet above the last place that he was hooked into. His first two attempts to attach the rope did not work. All of a sudden, he lost grip. Time stopped on the ground as our friend continued to plummet sideways towards down the rock face. Finally, after falling 30 feet, the rope tightened from the bolt where he had last clipped in. The rope yanked on his harness and stopped him just before hitting a rock ledge. Amazingly, he rather smoothly swung into the wall and landed on that ledge. A foot farther and his body would have slammed onto that rock ledge. A foot farther and his unprotected head could have hit the hard rock. But it didn't. God had saved him. A few scratches could have been serious injury or death, but God had protected him. We had just witnessed a miracle. This event changed the mood of our trip. We continued climbing and having fun, but took more care and paused often to reflect on that moment and to thank God that nothing more had happened. God heals the broken and the diseased, but God also makes well those who respond with thanks and praise. May God, who gives us opportunities to be grateful, open our eyes to see what God is doing among us. Amen.
Number 161 in the blue hymnal, 161. We give thanks unto you. This is a paraphrase of the psalm that Josh read earlier. I'll sing the leader part on the first stanza, and then we'll alternate men, women, for the rest of the piece. Please stand to sing. And everybody always sing when it says all. Thank you. give thanks unto you, O God of might, for your love is never-ending. We give thanks unto you, the God of gods, for your love is never-ending. Men, from of old you have led your people in faith, for your love. The Green Hymnal, number 76. The Lord bless you and keep you. Number 76. Please stand.
Thank you. Now receive this benediction, and Adam, Maria, and Ezra, we are thinking especially of you as we pray. Where true love and charity are found, God is always there. Therefore, when we gather as one in Christ Jesus, let our love enfold each race, creed, every person. Let envy, division, and strife cease among us. May Christ our Lord dwell among us in every heart. Amen.